Hello everybody, my name is Janet Ndell, and I can't believe I am finally and actually saying this, but welcome to my podcast. It has been a dream of mine to educate not only myself, but people just like me on all matters finances. This podcast, dubbed Investment Creed, is meant to educate, teach, and elevate your financial know-how on all things money. I hope you're able to learn a thing or two from this podcast and pick up pointers that will help you improve your finances and your relationship with money. I'm so excited for this, guys, so let's begin. Welcome back, guys. I am so happy to be back. It's been a while. I took a very long break, but now I'm back, so thank God, and let's dance. The last time we were here, we talked about smart business. We did a part one of that where we dived into the important factors to consider when starting or thinking of starting a business. We did stop off at market research, where I wasn't able to continue it due to constraints of time. So let's begin. Market research, this basically involves doing investigative research on the people you intend to sell your products to. So at this point, based on our part one of smart business, I'll shamelessly plug myself. Please go back and listen to part one, then come back and continue with part two for it to make sense to you. So at this point, you've nailed the business idea. And capital is something you can afford. Now we dive deeper into market research, and this applies to everyone. Either you're opening an online business or you're opening an in-person business, market research is essential for both. So step one in market research is demographic. Find out what age of people will be buying your product, what gender, if it's gender specific, and where these people are found in plenty. An example to this will be, for example, you want to sell shoes online. What type of shoes is it you want to sell? So, for example, I want to sell stilettos. And another example to this would be, for instance, if you're an Uber driver, you want to start working in the taxi business. You really have to think of who do you want your customer to be. I know this sounds strange because everyone uses Uber, everyone uses Bolt, but you know very well you get a certain range of clientele at a certain period of time to a specific period of time, and you get them in certain places. So if you're, for instance, riding an Uber, you'd have to make sure that you're strategically located in a place that is a central business area and that you're available at the time at which people in such areas go to work and at what point those people come back home. And if your demographic is a young crowd, you'll be situated along eateries and fun places for young people to be. So for example, around a club area or around an eatery joint where you can pick and drop off the young people to the eatery and back home. It's important to think of who you're trying to sell your business to. Whether it's an online business or if it's a physical business, it's very important to categorize who your client is. Adding on to that, understanding who your client is and what age range they set on and what gender they are and all this information in regards to your client will help you know where you'll open your business and strategize how to attract the customer you want to your shop. Even if you're opening a kiosk, you still have to be strategic and look for a place with families, especially young families and a crowd of people to make ends meet. You need to know who your customer is, and this will influence everything, including what you choose to sell and how you sell it. The most repeated word in this is customer. Know who your customer is. Understand who your customer is. What do they like? What is their age range? What is their gender? What things do they fancy? That will really help you determine and shape the landscape of your business. So moving on to market research, demographics is extremely important. A second bit of it will be location, 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 location. In real estate, they sing that, they say that, they say it all the time, but it applies also in business. Location matters even more than anything else. Location is one of the most important things, because if you decide to start a business today, you need to be strategic. Put yourself in a strategic position where clients will come to you. If, for instance, you're in an area that is not very popular, say a rural area, not too many people, and you realize there isn't a supermarket around the area or there isn't a butchery around the area and you choose to open one, you wouldn't open this butchery at the back of your house in your farm, because that won't attract people. You also wouldn't open this butchery at the first place where you get a plot of land, because you have no idea who stays there. You will need to find a common place where people in this small town congregate every single day and open your business there. This applies even in busy town areas. You want to open a business in town. For example, you want to sell baby clothes. The most common and largest market for baby clothes is Isili, Kamukunji, and Mutumba. So you can choose if you're selling secondhand clothes, situate yourself in a Mutumba Gikomba area. If you're selling brand new clothes, situate yourself somewhere in Isili or Kamukunji. If you want it to be online, attract people with the prices that are from such places, so that if someone is comparing whether to go to the shop or to buy online, your prices are more attractive, hence it's easier for them to shop from you. Understanding who your client is once more, and your location is extremely important. Location also matters in regards to online. Online location matters. Not all your clients are on Twitter. Not all your clients are on Instagram. Not all your clients are on Facebook. And most of them are clearly not on TikTok. But you need to figure out who you're trying to attract. Is it a young crowd? If it's a young crowd, then swing on to TikTok and Instagram. Make the most of it. If it's a more mature crowd, go on to Facebook and market your heart out and sell your products there. You will actually attract a higher group of people who are willing to buy. And if it's an online business, for instance, that does not sell a tangible product, but you sell an intellectual one, for example, you'd go on to LinkedIn and Twitter. Understanding location for the business matters. This applies to in-person business and online businesses. So from this point, I'll move on to smart business part 3. Which is actually the last part of Smart Business. It's a very short series, but I hope you've been able to get the most important bits. I have repeated research twice. The very first point, research, what business do you want to start? And the third point, market research. Researching who your customer is, what your customer likes, who they are, their gender, their age, what they like. It really helps you determine where your business will go. Now on the final point, which is pricing. Pricing is one of the most important factors to any profitable business. Our approach to pricing can determine our success or failure in business. It's actually the single most important factor in any business. So let's begin. I'll focus heavily on margin pricing. Margin pricing, this in my words, is the amount needed to restore expenditure costs and cover product value and make a profit at the same time. Simply put, the price that can best account for all the money you've put into your product and make you a profit. The easiest way to explain this is practically, so I'll give you an example. So, say you're a business selling a tangible product. So, for example, you're selling clothes, a clothing market. A clothing market is actually very popular. It's one of the most popular business fields to get into, with the lowest entry level needed. Hence, anyone and everyone can easily get into it and get out of it. So for example today, say for instance you're selling baby clothes and you buy ready-made baby clothes from your supplier who's abroad. So for example, your supplier is in China and you decide, I'm going to sell baby clothes. So let's figure out how you'll price these clothes. So we start by saying you buy 100 pieces of clothing at 10,000 Kenya shillings. The shipping cost from China to Kenya costs you about 2,500 Kenya shillings. Again, this is an example. 2,500 is too low for shipping from China, but I hope you get the drift. So you're buying 100 pieces of baby clothes from China at 10,000 Kenya shillings. The cost of shipping is 2,500 Kenya shillings. The cost of packaging for each and every single piece of clothing is about 20 shillings a bag. So say you decide to run your business as an online business, so you have to cater to the cost of bundles, Wi-Fi, and internet connectivity. So your internet provider provides you with a internet package of, say, 5,000 Kenya shillings a month. You decide to put advertisements on either Instagram or Facebook, so you budget about 5,000 Kenya shillings a month for advertisements. You still need a city council license because we are running an honest business. So city council license go for 5,000 Kenya shillings, depending on the municipality you're in. You have to add digital tax, which is extremely important, or just tax in general, which is 16% in Kenya at the moment. You have to add other small costs like receipts, branding, stationaries, and such things, which can say amount to about 5,000 Kenya shillings. So with all your costs put together, you add them all up. So this is how you determine your price for one piece of clothing. First of all, add up all costs involved, everything we've listed in our example, and the total cost will actually end up to 33,000. Every single thing, the 100 pieces of clothing, the shipping, the internet, your minus tax, but including every single element that we've mentioned just right now, when you add it all up, it comes up to 53,000. So when we began, I did state that you bought 100 pieces of clothing, which is an important factor to remember. And our total cost did come up to 33,000. So you divide the total cost by the number of products you have. So our total cost was 33,000. I divide it by the 100 pieces of clothing that I made. And my total cost at that point is 330 Kenya shillings. So 330 Kenya shilling is the base price for one piece of cloth. Meaning, if I just sell one piece of cloth at 330, I will not make a profit, but I will make back every single penny that I've spent. I hope you guys are getting the flow. I hope you're moving together. So what we did was we decided we're going to buy baby clothes from China, imported them in, bought 100 pieces at 10,000 shillings, added up other expected expenditures, and decided we're going to run this business online, so there's no rent. When we added everything up, it came up to 33,000. Everything was internet license, branding, packaging, Wi-Fi, everything put together, 33,000. So with our 33,000 and our 100 pieces of clothes, we wanted to determine the price of one piece of clothing. So we took the 33,000 and divided it by the 100 pieces of cloth. So 33,000 divided by 100, you get 330. That is the base price. So 330, we have to add tax because we are honest business people. When you add your 16% tax, it adds up to 383 Kenya shillings. So I'll pause for a moment. I hope you're all together. Okay, so the 383 shillings that we have now is not profit. It's just the base price of one piece of clothing plus tax. Now that we have determined this, we need to know what our profit will be so we can set our price. So 383 is just the base price. If you make no money and you only make 383 shillings, you'll have broken even. You'd have gotten back all the money that you spent on that product. So now to determine your actual price, we need to know what profit or pricing strategy you choose to use. So we do have several factors that affect price. First and foremost, actually there are four factors. So the first one is strategic pricing. Secondly, competitive pricing. Third, low entry level pricing. And fourth, high end product pricing. Some of these factors are very easy to understand. The name says it all, but I'll start with strategic pricing. So strategic pricing involves setting a price that is attractive to the market depending on whom your target market is. So for example, if you want to market your product to an upturn market, you'd set your prices slightly higher and showcase a higher quality and range. If you want your products to reach a larger demographic, you'll price your products at a more affordable range. The simplest way to do this is to research what other market providers already have in the market and set your prices based on that to suit your desired market. Strategic pricing and competitive pricing differs at this point because strategic pricing is being strategic, being smart about how you set your prices depending on what other people are setting their prices at or what other variables in the market affect your products. So, for example, if I want to sell clothes to a larger demographic, I'd look at the current price in the market. The largest market for baby clothes in Kenya currently is the secondhand market, where a piece of clothing can sell from as low as 10 shillings to as high as 1,000, being it's the highest. So from our example, I would look to make profit while attracting the largest crowd possible and safely set my price at around 550 Kenya shillings. This is a safe range because it's not the highest, it's not the lowest, but it still attracts people from that range of demographic, from the crowd that goes out to buy secondhand clothing. So in my case, if I sell my one piece of clothing at 550 Kenya shillings, I'll make a profit of 167 shillings. You remember our base price was 383 shillings, and then we've decided to sell our product at 550 Kenya shillings, which is strategic to the market we've decided to join. So if I sell my clothes at 550 Kenya shillings, my overall profit, if I sell all 100 pieces of clothes, my overall profit will be 16,700. And that's a 30% profit from where we began to where we are now. Remember, our total cost in the beginning was 33,000 for every single thing involved, and now we decided to sell our products at 550 shillings for one product, meaning 100 products will come in at 55,000, making our profit 16,700. That's clean profit you can put back in your pocket, and that is a 30% profit. So the second type of pricing is competitive pricing. As the name suggests, competitive pricing involves setting a price according to the prevailing market rates. This especially works if you're selling a product that is in a heavily saturated market. That is, there's so many other sellers selling the same thing. So for example, in our case, if I'm selling baby clothes in an area that sells baby clothes at 450 shillings a piece, it will be ideal for me to set my price at either the exact same price, 450, or just slightly higher or slightly lower. So I'd either sell my baby clothes at 430, 450, or 470 within that safe range. So most of us have actually encountered such situations where you go to town, there are about 10 stalls in a line, all of them are selling the exact same thing. You enter stall 1, you get the same product for 300. You go to stall 2, the same product is at 300. Stall 4 is at 350, so you come back to stall 1 and buy it at stall 1. Yes, competitive market pricing. So one thing to note, one extremely important factor to note, is that where you choose to set your business matters. Competitive pricing can kill a business. Please, let's just make that clear. It can kill a business, because if you go to a market where the prices are so low, you cannot be able to make profit. You'll actually end up using money out of your pocket to sell the product. So in our case, since we decided to sell at 450, which is the current market price, our profit will be 67 shillings. Again, remember, our base price was 383 shillings. We decided to sell at 450 shillings, so profit there is 67 shillings per piece. And if we add up the total profit for all 100 pieces after selling, the total profit will only add up to 6,700 Kenya shillings profits, which is profit, clean profit in your pocket, minus all expenses and minus tax. So let's move on to the third example of pricing, which is low entry pricing. Low entry pricing is it's easy to understand, it's just as the name says. It involves setting your prices at a very low level to attract customers in the market, and then raising your prices up once you've acquired the market share you wanted. So this especially works if the business is new and you want to attract as many customers as you can when entering the market. From our example, if other shops around you are selling the baby clothes at 500 shillings, you'd have an opening sale of say 400 shillings. That is 100 shillings below market value. And this will attract a lot of customers to your stall. Now it's up to you to take advantage of this and be able to create customer loyalty and build on good customer relationships, so that once your prices go back up, the same customers that bought from you when you started will be able to come back to your shop and buy again. So lastly, we have high-end product pricing. Before I begin on this, I'd like to clarify something. There's a big difference between high-end product pricing, which is designer-level pricing, and up-market pricing. So if you'll allow me, I'd like to take us back to strategic pricing. You remember our first point when it came to pricing, strategic pricing? So in strategic pricing, you can be in an area that is an uptown area. You choose to strategize your pricing according to the area, and the area you choose is an up-market area. So if you're in an upmarket area and you've bought your baby clothes at 100 shillings, and remember our base price was 383 shillings, and in that area people sell baby clothes upwards of 1,000 shillings, you'd actually be obliged to sell your baby clothes at 1,000 shillings. Otherwise, if you sell it any lower, people will assume it's either very poor quality or a fake product. And if you sell it too high, people will now suspect that you're trying to make an abnormal profit and might not buy from you. So follow the range at which according to the market you're in. So in strategic level pricing, you might choose to situate yourself in an upmarket area where you find yourself selling your baby clothes at, say, 1,400 shillings. That is over 100% profit. Because remember, our base price was 383 shillings and you've decided to sell your clothes at 1,400, which is the prevailing market rate in the area you're in, meaning you're making more than double the cost, sorry, the cost you inputted into your products. So upmarket upmarket pricing falls under strategic pricing. Strategic pricing can be either you choose to strategically join a market which is a lower end market, or a middle range market, an upmarket, or a higher end market. So I would really wanted to clarify that before we moved on to higher end market, higher end pricing. My apologies. So higher end pricing. This pricing reflects clothing articles that are sold as a brand. In this case, the brand name has more value than the articles of clothing themselves. Such products can only be sold in a high-end market to clients that have the luxury to spend a little more for convenience and quality. In this case, other factors will come to play. The cost of branding, the cost of marketing, the cost of high-end packaging, the cost of rent in a convenient place to attract such clients, and lastly, the cost of quality of product quality. If you want to sell at a high-end market, you should also have a high-end product. There's a lot of scrutiny when it comes to high-end products in a high-end market. Costs in such cases can run up a profit margin of over 60% to even 100%, but in all honesty, profit can go up to as high as 300%. So with that in mind, it's clear to see that pricing isn't just a set thing. You don't wake up today and decide, I'm going to sell my products for 50 shillings today. No, you have to consider a few factors. What are the other businesses around you selling their products for? What type of area am I in? Is it an upscale market? Is it a lower end market? What type of area am I in? And second, and lastly, what kind of product do I have? Is it a higher end product or is it of a normal standard range? You have to think about all these factors before you decide to put your product into the market so that you don't end up underselling. You end up running for under losses for such a long time and you don't understand why your business is not taking off. Or you end up scaring away customers by ridiculous prices that absolutely do not make sense. And the example I gave today was of a tangible product, but the exact same factors apply to an intangible product as well. So you have to be careful on how you choose to price your product. Always determine, what is my base price? What is the minimum cost I can sell this product for? At which point I'll be able to break even? And then from that, determine what profit level you want to achieve and then set the price. It's that simple. This has been a long podcast. I think this is the longest I've ever made since I started, a whole 23 minutes. I want to say thank you so much for your patience. Thank you so much for listening in. Smart Business has been the most listened to podcast that I've ever made. I am so grateful for that. I want to say thank you 100 times over. I hope Smart Business Part 2 will be able to be helpful. In case of any questions at all, feel free to drop me an email. I'll leave my email in the description of this podcast. Drop me an email, ask whatever questions you have. The next session, I will try to make it a question answer session in case I have enough questions. But in case not, I have a really interesting topic I want to talk about, which is money. Let's talk money. Can't wait. So thank you guys so much and goodbye.